As I stand before you on this anniversary Sunday and recognize what a holy moment this is, it gives us an opportunity to stand still for a moment, to look back at our story and our history, to remember who we are and how we got here, and then to look forward to the future. And as we think about this in the context of a broader church life, whatever church community that you might have come from, whatever story brings you to this place, that is also something that we want to affirm as well. It may not be a part of this own church's particular story, specifically in its connection, but because you are here, you make it a part of this church's story. And as you connect to your own story of faith, in the churches that you come from, in the stories that help you to feel a sense of connection to this faith journey and to that story in history that makes you who you are, you realize that as you are present here in this moment, you help to weave that all together. I thank Ron for putting up those pictures of different parts of our church's story in between the litany, because those pictures are really powerful when you look at them. We see pictures of Bob Webb, and for church members, we remember him very present, always on this site, caring for it with such great love. As we see pictures of church communities and gatherings, we realize that story is a part of this church's history. And I'm always grateful for Reverend Hero as he participates in with us in worship. And I have to acknowledge that I'm like many of you who are sitting in this room. I don't understand a word that Reverend Hero is saying. But I tell you that there's something about hearing him speak in the language that this community first gathered in that means something to me. It's just the sound of that language that reminds me that 113 years ago, there were people who gathered and heard that very same language. And it was that language that told the story of faith that enabled them to commit their lives to Christ and to build the church that we now are a part of. And so when Reverend Hero participates with us, he has such a deep and resonant voice. I love the way he says these words. And actually, the thing about Reverend Hero is he comes from that generation of pastors who could actually sing really well and carry the congregation in song. Not me. Reverend Dion is great, but not me. So, but Reverend Hero has a voice that fills this sanctuary, and it reminds us of the connection that we have through this language. Now knowing that as we articulate it here in the English language, that we are continuing on that legacy as our church continues to grow each time we gather together and all that we're doing. And now it's being spoken in a different language. It's being spoken in a digital language amongst our youth and young adults. They don't communicate through the newsletter, probably have never read the newsletter of our church, but who communicate through Facebook and social media sites that help them to stay connected as a community. Those are all parts of the story that make us who we are. And it's important for us to remember that in this church's history. And as we come on this anniversary Sunday, we realize that that story, it's such a powerful gift. That story is something that is handed to us as a precious possession. And it's given to us for care. And so what we are then called to do is to receive that gift and to receive it as that gift of grace and hold on to it very close and be thankful for all of the ways that we know that we stand upon all of those stories that we articulated in that litany, that those stories are a part of how we get here and how we have a ministry in this very place. But what's important for us to also know, too, is that it's not just a gift, but it's also a task, because we realize that it's handed to us so that we might be the connecting link between God's promise and its fulfillment. And so we find as well in that task that we are called to vital ministry, that we do it in the spirit of those who came before us and do it in a way that continues to proclaim the message of Jesus Christ and the love of God for God's people. And as we carry that message, we realize that what we do in ministry from that point builds on that story and the story of salvation history, but is something that we now have in our hands and in our hearts and then are called to share that and to move that and to change that and to allow it to be grasped and carried on by the next generation that would follow us, knowing that we continue this legacy, how important that is for us as a church. As we think about that, the scripture passage this morning reminds us of this gift and task. It reminds us of the way in which God will always help us to know that how we've gotten here is because of God. And that what we do from that point is also because of the story that makes us who we are. And so the people of Israel are being challenged by the prophet Micah. They are being disobedient. And Micah comes to them first in the first five verses in the voice of God saying, "What have I done to weary you? Why is it that you are disobedient to me? Why are you not following the way that I have set forth for you?" And then in verse 6, it changes voices, and it becomes the prophet Micah. And the prophet Micah challenges them to think about how they've gotten there. And as the story is articulated through Micah, Micah tells the people of Israel, "Do you not remember that I am the one who liberated you from slavery in Egypt? Do you not remember that I am the one who guided you through the wilderness and brought you into the promised land? Do you not remember that I am the one who set you forth in this place so that you might have fruitful living?" A fulfillment of the promise that was made to Abraham. You are a part of the fulfillment of that promise. And what have I done that would make you forget that story? And then it goes into a passage, part of the passage that we all, is a very familiar part of the passage that says, "What shall we do then? What shall we offer? What can we give?" And then the passage says, if you do want to carry on this message, remember your story, but go forth to do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with your God. Why do we do justice? We do justice because it was God's justice that allowed us to be liberated from slavery in Egypt and brought to the promised land. Why do we offer kindness? Because we have experienced the kindness of God and God's mercies each and every day that have provided powerful blessings for us. Why is it that we should walk humbly with God? Because the generations before us that walked humbly with God have shared that message with us, that we would always know who it is that is the center of our life and faith. It is our God. And walking humbly with God allows us to follow God's lead, to know that God is with us, even when we don't experience it. And when we think about where we will go and what we will do, knowing that it is God who desires to guide us forth in faith. And so we carry that same legacy amongst us. As we think about what we do and why we do it, we remember the story that makes us who we are, the story of this church, but also the story of biblical salvation history, and realize that when we are called to do justice, it's because someone has helped us to experience the fullness of justice in our story, that God's presence in our story has helped us to be lifted up out of our oppression and brought forth to the fullness of life, and that there have been people who have been vehicles for that justice that have enabled us to be the people that we are. Why should we be a church that is kind to others? Because we realize that there was a God who said, "I am going to be your God and offer you this gift of grace, offer you the kindness of my love, and know that that would continue to bless you, but also to be a part of your community as well, that you would be a community of kindness and grace, of caring and love. Why is it that you should walk humbly with me? Because we would know that as we stand here in this place, that generations before us have walked that same humble journey and have brought us here to this place. We are living in a time these days where there is great anxiety, great fear, that there is feelings of terror. You all have been watching the news. You all have been seeing it on the internet. You all have been hearing it in conversation. There is great fear and great terror around us in these days. And as you witness this, the thing that I hear sometimes as they are recounting these stories that are happening is, we have never seen anything like this. We have never seen anything like this that is causing such great fear and great anxiety and great terror. And what comes to me when I hear people say we have never experienced anything like this before is, we sure have short memories. Because the reality is that we have experienced this before in this country. And this church has a specific connection to that story through World War II. And realizing that that story that we have to tell is a very important one. It's important for us to realize that the story that we've been given, it's a part of who we are.
But what we realize as well is with that story, we have also been given a task. And that task is to tell that story and to do it in such a way that others would hear that we have done this before in this country. It has happened before, and it's happened to us. And this story is a part of this church and this people. And that story gives to us a very important task, and that is not to remain silent. That is to stand up and say, we know in this church and in this history that we have seen and experienced this before. But there have been folks who have come to us and said, I will walk with you. I will stand beside you. I will lift you up and hold you and sustain you through those years of fear and terror so that you can make it through and find the promised land on the other side. I'm hopeful that every time we say the name Blaine Memorial United Methodist Church, that we do so not just in letting the name pass through, but that we remember that there was someone who stood with us in this Japanese-American community when no one else would stand with us. Now, when we tell this story, we sometimes will articulate it from our own perspective. We say, we're so grateful and thankful that E.L. Blaine and the folks of First Methodist Church of Seattle stood with us. But the one thing that we have to know, I don't think I'm speculating here. One thing that we have to know is I am guessing that E.L. Blaine and the folks at First Methodist Church faced great scrutiny from the community that said, why are you standing with them? Why is it that you would go to them? They are the enemies. They are to be feared. That is where our trouble lies. And in that, E.L. Blaine and the folks of First Methodist Church said, we will stand with that church and this community. And what I want to suggest to all of us today is that as we celebrate the story and give thanks for the gift, know also that it is a task that is placed before us. Because that task is right now, in the time that we are living in, that task is for us not to remain silent and to step forward and say, we are going to stand with you, Muslim community. We are going to stand with you, Mexican immigrant. We are going to stand with you because we know what it is to face injustice. We know what it is to live in fear. We know what it is to live in terror each and every day, that someone will tap us on the shoulder. Someone will hit us over the head. Someone will come to us and say, you are an enemy. You are an outsider. You are an outcast. That is a part of the story of the history of this church. And as you become incorporated with this story, and as that story connects itself to you in the roots of this tree, know that you are the branches that give forth the fruit that will allow that message to be heard by others. And the question is, as we receive the story that is a part of our history, will we now allow ourselves to be that vehicle that brings forth this fruit that will bless and touch others, that will go to others and say, I will stand with you, that will go to other places and say, this is not right, and say, we will stand alongside those who are experiencing fear and terror, who feel great sadness in their days, who wonder what will happen to them tomorrow. Because in this church's history, we know of those days. Because those days, they are a part of the history of this church and the history of the Japanese American people. Did you see today, Sharon Maeda sent me an email this morning about the Seattle Japanese American Citizens League, who spoke out against the executive orders of Donald Trump. And in so doing, they said that very same thing that we are saying today, that our community, we know this story, and we've seen it happen before, and we refuse to remain silent. And so for us as a church, my hope is that we will hear that message, especially on this anniversary Sunday, that we will hear that message, and we will also say, we have a story to tell as well. It's not something that we will hold inside. We will not keep silent. We will tell this story because we know that that story has been given to us as a part of the experiences of God's presence with us, walking with us in this journey. And as we have this story, we hold it as a gift, but we see it as a task, and we know that we must continue to speak about it because there will be others who will be negatively affected if we do not speak. There are others who will find themselves facing violence because we have not stood up. There are others who are going to hide in a corner because no one would help to bring them out into the light. And so on this anniversary Sunday, my prayer is that we would give thanks and celebrate the story that makes us who we are, but know as well that that story has now called us to new action. It's calling us to step forth in faith. It's calling us to stand up and be counted. It's asking us to stand with those who are walking the journey that is an extension of the journey that we have experienced as a church. And really, it is an extension of this country's history that we know that that story is something that we can speak about with authenticity because it's a story that is right here. And the question for us is, now will we speak that story? Now will we proclaim that truth? Now will we find a way to stand up and be counted? Because if we do, then what we recognize is we are honoring the story of biblical history and the story of this church by what we're doing. And we are extending the legacy of this community by doing just those things. My prayer this day is that we would see this as a call to action. And in hearing it that way, that we would say, this call to action is not something that is just my own. It's something that is handed to me from the legacy of this church and from biblical history. And we will now take that story and move it out into the world and proclaim God's presence and power in those places where there is great suffering and oppression, where there's hardship and struggle, where people are living in great fear and living with terror each and every day. We will stand there and be counted. Let's join together for a word of prayer. Gracious God, we are thankful for the story that makes us who we are, and we are thankful for the gift that we share this day as we recount where we have been and how we have come to this place. But as a church, we recognize that you are now calling us to step forward in faith. And we realize, oh God, that in this congregation, we carry a legacy that is Japanese American, but we realize that in the diversity of this church, how it's grown and changed with the different ethnicities and stories and experiences here in this room and in our community, that we know, oh God, that this story that we are describing, it's not a Japanese American story. It is a biblical story. It is a story of a people of faith. It is a story of a people who have experienced oppression. It is a story of people who have walked in fear. But what we know in that story, oh God, is we join ourselves together this day and say that while we have that experience and while we have suffered in that journey and while we have been able to persevere and make it to the promised land, we know that our role now is to reach back and reach out and bring those who are suffering and fearful today with us. This is not a Japanese-American story. This is a story of all of us. It is a story of this church and its future, and it is a story that is an extension of your biblical promise made to Abraham that we would be your faithful generation and live this out fully each and every day. We ask, oh God, that you'd be with us in this task. We realize that we cannot do this alone. We need your spirit to guide and lead us. We need the strength that you can place inside of us. We need, oh God, that creative wisdom that helps us to know the way. But what we can say with that, oh God, is that we are ready to stand up and step out. And we are ready, oh God, to speak the story that we have to share and do so in a way that we believe will allow all who are experiencing fear and terror this day to know that they are not alone. We ask, oh God, that you'd be with us in this, guide and lead us in this, and fill us with your spirit, for in this you have called us to be vehicles of your grace and mercy, your power and promise. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, we offer this prayer. Amen.